So we're continuing in Makot, and we'll recap what we did thus far. We learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah said two cases of how Edim Samimim, instead of getting the punishment they intended to inflict, which is par and parcel with the definition of Edim Samimim, they get lashes. The Gemara asked two questions that Lechora, this is not a fulfillment of Edim Zomimin. This is, they do not get Kasher Zamam. And secondly, there's a Mishnah, distinct Mishnah later on, that actually answers the question of our Mishnah and explains us how Edim becomes Zomimim. And the Gemara answered. The Gemara said, Tana Hasam Koi. There are a few tractates in Shas that begin this way with Tana Hasam Koi. The Tana of our Mishnah is going over there. So Akiva asked, wait a second, if you're going to talk to me about Makos, you should have begun with the third chapter. The third chapter is where we have a delineation of how Makos actually work. So isn't that the way to start the Masechet? And the answer to that breaks down into two things. Number one, as Rav Shri Raigon writes in his famous letter, he gives Rav Shri Raigon, we don't always have an order to Mishnah. Rav Shri Raigon writes, it's not so clear to us the order of the tractates, the order of the Masechtot. Sometimes the Gemara tells us this Masechet is after that Masechet for a reason. So if we look at Nidarim Nazir Sota, the Gemara defines why Nidarim Nazir Sota are back to back. When we come to Sanhedrin Makos, so the Gemara is telling us that the Mishnah has an order. Sanhedrin Makos. And so when the Tana shifted from tractate Sanhedrin to tractate Makos, he continued with the topic he was on at the end of Sanhedrin. So the first part of the answer to your question is that there seems, the Gemara's answer, Tana Hosam Koi, according to Rav Shri Raigon, is the Gemara's telling me that generally these two Mishnayot were learned together. If not generally, then specifically in the Academy of Rebbe. And so the order they chose to give the Mishnayot was an order where our first Mishnah of Masechet Makot is connected to the last Mishnah of Masechet Sanhedrin. Again, Rav Shri Raigon says, we don't have an order for every Masechet. He says, yes, sometimes we have this order and some Mishnayot have that order. When it comes to many Masechtot in a specific Seder, in Seder Nashim, Nezikim, Moed, etc., we don't necessarily have an order. Specific Masechtot do have an order. And here the Gemara is revealing to us that Makos comes after Sanhedrin, and so the Tana wanted to align them. So that's part one of the answer to your question as to why in Masechet Makot we would begin with this Mishnah. But there's a part two. When we approach Shas, so we find often that Mishnayot that would seem to us elementary to the understanding of a Masechet are hidden somewhere in the middle of the Masechet. The most classical example is probably in Masechet Shabbat. You only reach the seventh chapter, the second Mishnah, to discover the 49 Avot Melachot. Shouldn't that have been the opening of Masechet Shabbat? So Tosfos tells us numerous times in Shabbat and in Yuma and in other places that there's a chronological order. There is an order. We're going from before Shabbos into Shabbos in order. And we're going in another order, which is the order of melachot kashot. The hotzah is a melacha geru'a, Tosa says. It's a difficult melacha to understand, so the Tana wanted to get it in off the bat. So we find sometimes that Tosfos or the Gemara gives us a reason for the ordering of a Masechet. In Yuma, Tosos writes, it's chronological order. In Shabbos, we find part of the Masechet seems to be a chronological order, and so forth. So there can be different reasons for the ordering of the Mishnah. What we do not find is that the ordering of the Mishnah is like a Rambam. In Rambam, you have a very logical sequential order. You begin with the psukim, you begin with which mitzvot are included in the topic we're learning, you lay the foundation, and you work your way up in a specific order. When you learn Mishnayot, you do not find that to be the order almost ever. The general rule is we do not find that order. And this is true of Mishnayot, this is true of Gemara. And Chazal had a word for it. Chazal said Divrei Torah aniyim b'makom echad, ashirim b'makom acher. The words of Torah are poor in one place, wealthy in another place. In other words, sometimes you're learning a topic and there's a question that's really bugging you on that topic. And you look around that topic and you don't find the answer. You should know that's normal. Part of learning is that you need a more global understanding of the subject, and not only that subject, but all subjects, in order to understand that subject better. Divrei Torah, the words of Torah, aniyim b'makom echad, are poor in one place. You learn a specific topic, you learn a specific sugiya, and you're missing components. Ashirim b'makom acher, you have to come somewhere else in order to become wealthy to fill the gaps. So Chazal set up Torah Shebal Peh that way, and there's a logic to it. Divrei Torah, aniyim b'makom echad, ashirim b'makom acher. I think it's a Gemara.
If Rabbi wants a Makor, it's in the Midrash Rabbah on Eishes Chayil.
Oh, okay. He told us. Right? On Socharea, right? Mimer HaKtavi Lachma. Yeah. Yafe. Okay. So Divrei Torah Nim Makom Achad Ashirim Makom Acher. That's a rule we have to work with. And the first perspective on that rule might be that Chazal expected us to encompass things. The second perspective on that rule might be that Chazal expected us to learn from a Rebbe. If you're going to try to learn Torah Shebal Peh alone or from Art Scroll, you're going to have a hard time. You'll do something, but to master Torah Shebal Peh, you really need to learn from someone who's learned it from someone, etc. You need a tradition, at least in the first few years. And here we come to the final point, and that is what's written in the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Kudner. For years I had a question on this. So why is Torah Shebal Peh organized this way? Rav Yitzchak Kudner in the Pachad Yitzchak writes, I think it's on Purim, he writes that Torah Shebal Peh was purposely made this way, as it says in the Medrash Psikta de Rav Kahana, that the nations would claim they are the chosen ones, and the Ribbon Shalom knew from the onset the nations would claim that. The written law was written and translated, so everyone thought, we got it. But the oral law was written in a way that you couldn't get it. Meaning if a person opens up an art scroll and tries to learn Torah Shebal Peh, he could be in North Korea, he could be in the Vatican, he's not going to get it. Torah Shebal Peh is purposely written in a way that you need a tradition, or you need to study a long, long time with a Rebbe, or at least be given the fundamentals by a Rebbe in order to get the hang of it. And that, writes Rav Hutner, is why the Torah Shebal Peh was written this way. So that if the nations want to claim we're the Jewish people, as the nations have been claiming for millennium already, they wouldn't be able to do it. Because the Torah, with the Torah Shebal Peh, is the perfect balance of life. You cannot get it without the Torah Shebal Peh. The only way to apply Torah Shebichsav and get the balanced life that Ribbono Shel Olam wants to give us is with the use of Torah Shebal Peh. In order to ensure that it couldn't be plagiarized, the way Torah Shebichsav was, in order to ensure that, the Ribbono Shel Olam made it that you cannot learn Torah Shebal Peh so simply. It's not written as a Rambam. It's not written, organized in a way that you can easily just jump in and get it. So that's an overview. So what we discussed is, although Rambam writes there is an order to tractates, Rav Shira Gaon writes we don't have a specific tradition on all tractates. Certain tractates were learned together, and that's what our Gemara is telling us in Tana Hasam Koi. Then we discussed that the order, nonetheless, doesn't answer the logical sequential order we would expect, and that sometimes Tosus gives us a different logic behind the order, but ordinarily we don't see a specific logic in the order, and that led us to the Pachad Yitzchak, that Chazal purposely left the oral Torah in a way that you couldn't get the hang of it without mastering a lot of it or learning from someone who learned from someone, etc., who's mastered a lot of it. Yes, sir.
So the Rav mentioned that it's not like the Rambam where everything's all Mesudar. If the Dafka had it in a way that it's not Mesudar, wouldn't it make it be a problem for everyone else to have written it so Mesudar?
First of all, that's why Rav Moshe didn't want to give Askama to Art Scroll. I know Art Scroll prints Rav Moshe's Askama in the beginning, that Rav Moshe Feinstein was not a fan of Art Scroll. In that sense, that's what Rav Pesen Zatzal told us. That, and you read one of Rav Moshe's tshuvas, he has a tshuva about that, that really the Torah is not supposed to be made so accessible that
the Torah is called the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, the
Rebbe. They don't make it that you really got it. You can't understand Rambam without Gemara. You understand something, but Rambam himself writes. The Rambam without the Gemara is a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's not Torah Shebaal Peh. You're getting an overview, a summary, like the Rambam writes in his letter, it's for the Amaratzim. The Mishnah Torah is for Tamidei Chachamim, if you're going to learn it with the Gemara. If you're going to learn it without the Gemara, then for the Amaratzim, they could learn Tanakh and Rambam, and at least they have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, they'll know how to lead life. But it won't give them a mastery of Torah Shebaal Peh, not in the sense, no.
I don't know, we just missed Sifan Zikim yesterday.
It's great.
I'm not coming to discourage
the learning. It's great, and you guys have Art Scroll, and you're learning a Masecht in Art Scroll, and that's great. But the real mastery of Torah doesn't come that way. And just like I'll learn Chayei Adam and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Rambam, even when I'm not learning it with the Gemara, because at the end of the day, it's very beneficial, and it's great that you're doing Rambam, and it's great that you're doing Gemaras with Art Scroll. But the real mastery of Torah doesn't come that way. Back to our Gemara. So our Gemara had said as an answer, Tana Hasam Koi. Our Tana is going on the Mishnah over there at the end of Tractate Sanhedrin. In our Tractate Sanhedrin, the order of the chapters, the last two chapters, is switched. So by us, it's not the last Mishnah of Tractate Sanhedrin. We see from this Gemara that they switched the last two chapters, and this was the last Mishnah. This is the last Mishnah of the second to last chapter in our Sanhedrin. In Chazal's Shas, the last two chapters were switched. We have the last chapter being the Agadita, Perek Chelek. It seems like they had that as the second to last chapter, again, switched. So Tana HaSamkoi, the Tana of our Mishnah, is going on over there. That the Mishnah, I'm rereading what we saw yesterday, the Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin writes, Kol HaZomimin Magdimin Lo Tamita. All Eidim Zomimin should anticipate that they will be proceeded to the death penalty they tried to inflict. And they don't have a way out. The exception being the Eidim Zomimin who testified that the daughter of a Kohen committed adultery, that they were trying to inflict upon her the death penalty of Sreifa, and upon him the death penalty of Chenek, Shein Makdimin Lo Tamita, that even though they were trying to get her to get that death penalty, they don't get that death penalty, Ela Lemita Acheret, but rather they get a different death penalty, they get the death penalty of Chenek. So we might ask, well, isn't this a duchiyat echol azima? Why is this acceptable testimony if in the end they won't get the punishment they tried to inflict? So that's what the Gemara is telling me, that they're going to get one of the two death penalties they wanted to inflict, and that's enough to be considered kasher zamam. So the Mishnah taught me something. Ordinarily, I have to give the exact punishment they tried to inflict. In this case, because of derivations from the Pasuk, I'm not going to give them the exact death penalty they tried to inflict. I'm giving them Chenek and not Sreifa. So that Mishnah taught me a concept that I can have Eidim Zomimin who do not get the identical punishment they were trying to inflict. V'yesh Eidim Zomimim Acherim, and coming off of that Mishnah, our Mishnah says there's another type of Eidim Zomimim, Shenosin Ben Din Azama Kol Ikar, that they don't get what they were trying to inflict altogether. In that Mishnah, at least, we say they were trying to inflict two types of death penalty, they get one of them. And now I'll show you another case where they don't get a punishment that's like what they were trying to inflict altogether. Ela malkot arba'im, but rather they will get 40 lashes instead of what they were trying to inflict. Ketzad, and about that our Mishnah says, how so? And about that the Mishnah answers, Meidin anu bishploni shu ben ushav ben chanum nutza, en amum yasazei ben ushav ben chautza tachtav, ela loket arba'im. That's what the Mishnah is asking, Ketzadan. The Mishnah is asking, how do I have witnesses who are found to be zomimin on a case that I do not inflict kasher zaman, yet they become zomimin. How so? The Mishnah answers, in the case of a chalal, where they testified he's a chalal, so in that case they will get the 40 lashes. That's how you can have witnesses become edim zomimin, even though you will not give them the identical punishment they wanted to inflict. So, if we had to reinterpret the Mishnah, so then, Keitzad Eidim Nasim Zomimin, how can witnesses become Eidim Zomimin in a circumstance where I cannot fulfill Kasher Zamam? That's the unspoken condition coming off of the previous Mishnah, which described that I can give a death penalty that's one of two they were trying to inflict, and the lighter one of two. So then this Mishnah comes in and asks, how do witnesses become zomimin in instances where you cannot apply kasher zamam altogether? And about that, the Mishnah answers, here's the case, here's the punishment. It's not as open as we're making it, because then on every edut she'etai chola azima, you'll say, okay, I'll just give him lashes. Where do I, where don't I? That remains to be defined. Okay, so that's an overview of what we've done so far. I think we're going to skip Rashi, yes? Unless you guys want to do Rashi inside, it's a basic decision we have to make. I'd love to learn Rashi with you, but at least if we do every Rashi, we will accomplish half the amount of Gemara, and I think we have to accomplish Gemara.
Can I ask, regarding the first question of the Gemara, Ha-Ketzad Ein Eidim Nasim Zemim Mibayi, like, is the Gemara saying, in Echanami, that is what the... That's a good question, and we just take that as assumed, that you'll understand that in the Mishnah, or...
So I think, what do you mean to ask again?
I mean, have we really answered that question? It sounds like we're saying, yeah, the mission really should have said, Kate said, Ein Eidim Nasim Zayimim, except maybe we...
So I think Rashi, we will look at Rashi, look to the right, V'ka'amar Hacha, you see the end of that long Rashi? About 12 lines before the lines get wide, the beginning of the line, V'ka'amar Hacha. You have it just under the Shum, parentheses Shum.
Yeah.
Amichai, you with us?
No.
Look in Rashi. You see the end of the line? It says Shum in parentheses.
The further you get along, you're saying.
Yeah.
Down here. Okay.
Wow. Okay. So Rashi writes, V'ka'amar Hocha, and the Mishnah over here is saying, Od yesh zomimim acherim, we have another type of Eidim zomimim. Shein mekaymim b'em din hazam haklal, that we do not fulfill the concept of kasher zamam altogether. Ela malkut, but rather we will give them lashes, which isn't even similar to what they were trying to inflict. Ve'alam hefaresh, and on that concept that there exists Eidim zomimim, who will not get what they were trying to do, but rather lashes. About that, the Mishnah is coming to explain, Koitzad otan edim shein mekaymim ben din hazamah nasin zomimin. How do they become edim zomimim if you're not going to give them the identical punishment? How does that happen? So Rashi comes to explain that the Gemara's maskana is that the question is accurate. Koitzad ha'edim, how do the witnesses whose testimony cannot receive kasher zamam, how do those witnesses nasim zomimim? How do they become edim zomimim and get a punishment?
So that's the negative you were saying yesterday about the fact that they're only called zomam if they actually got the punishment they expected, right? Because they're saying it's going to be not fulfilled.
Right.
Okay.
Minohani mili. What is the source for what we just learned? You told me you don't give them. Now, when you see a minohani mili, so don't learn balabatish. You have to zoom in, and ask which point is the Gemara asking about. You could ask a general, where does this come from? No, we're not learning balabatish. Which point is the Gemara looking for a source for? And the answer you will tell me after we see the Gemara's answer. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, the Amalka, Ramban explains in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the first Shoresh, that most of what the Gemara is doing, or much of what the Gemara is doing, is working backwards. I know the Halacha, I know it from the Mishnah, I know it from Masorah. Now let me see where I could find the source for it in the Pasuk. Ramban, in his commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, Shoresh Rishon, the first root to the Sefer HaMitzvos. So that's what we're finding here. We have the halacha, the Gemara is working backwards. What's the source for that halacha? Says the Gemara, Da Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi da Amar Kra, Vasitem lo kashir zamam, do unto him as he plotted. Lo velo lezaro, I derive from the pasuk, do to him, and don't do to his children. So what was the Gemara's question, Minani Mili? Based on the answer, I understand the question was, how do you know not to make him a challel? How do you know not to inflict identical punishment? Meaning the Gemara is working systematically. The Gemara is not yet tackling the question, how do you know they can become zomimin? How do you know they should get lashes? The Gemara is asking one question. How do you know not to inflict identical punishment? Meaning the Gemara is working on the first halacha we saw in the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, it says in the Pasuk, Vasitem lo kashel zamam. And we learn that the word lo is a miyut. It could have just said, Vasitem kashel zamam. Do as they plotted. The Torah added a word. The Torah said, Vasitem lo. Do unto him. Why did the Torah add that word? It is a miyut. It is coming to exclude. Lo, do the punishment unto him, velo lezaro, and not to his seed, not to his offspring. So that's the answer. And we have to discern between what Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says and what the Gemara is going to expand on. The next line is already the Gemara talking. It's not Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. So the Gemara questions what Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, and the Gemara asks, "V'lifsiluhu ledidei v'lo lifsilu lezarei." So why not disqualify him and not disqualify his children? If the pasuk came to tell you that, so do just that. Disqualify only him, answers the Gemara. And here it would seem, being that the Gemara doesn't quote a to and fro based on Amoraim, it would seem this is a logical sequence. The Gemara logically asks, the Gemara logically answers, and all of this ends up being an explanation of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was saying, and therefore an explanation of the Mishnah. Ba'inan, remember we said the word boy means need, want, or ask. Ba'inan, we need, we require kasher zamam to give the witnesses what they plotted. Kasher zamam nasot vileka, and if I only disqualify them and not their children, I have not fulfilled kasher zamam. They wanted to disqualify the Kohen and all his future generations. If I only punish them, I did not fulfill kasher zamam. We will revisit this question, Be'ezrat Hashem, tomorrow.